travels with Sarah, leaving Ontario. Sarah the ancient dog and I have lingered for nearly 2 weeks in the Point Farms Provincial Park campground near Goderich, Ontario. My original plan of continuing to tow the scamp trailer east to the coast, then south to Florida, needs to be revisited. The nights are getting cold. Sarah is ailing. It's one thing to be based in a campground with her, another thing to be on the road. She has a limited amount of tolerance for being in the car and gets restless and distracted, which means I'll have to find a place to stop for the night early. But the bigger issues concern life and money and identity. How? Where? What? Not to mention who and why and when. I could go back and teach, now I feel rested and restored, which would mean more monthly social security money as well. But I have been teaching for 20 years. I want a new life. Being on the road opens one to experiences not available on the 9-to-5 routine. I like not having a house to clean. I like creating patchwork meals. A ranger found me picking up apples around the park, which used to be a farm with orchards. "Is it okay to gather them?" I asked. He said, "Sure, I wouldn't eat them. They're probably full of worms. But then I only eat stuff I find in the grocery store." Recipe for caramelized apples on the road. After the campfire has burned down to red embers, place a pile of apple slices in a cast iron pan with a lump of butter. Sprinkle sea salt on the slices to bring out the sweetness and release the juices. Shake and turn from time to time until they soften and start to brown. Sprinkle with a little olive oil. I have a small bottle of olive oil I've been using on my face and on my food, if the apple slices are looking dry. Add a slurp of maple syrup. I melted in a couple of pieces of maple leaf-shaped candy, which I'd bought from a fancy shop in town, and shake and turn until the whole thing is becoming caramelized, and the dog is getting excited about it too. Eat. Share with the dog. Fantastic. Of course, Sarah is my focus right now, making sure her quality of life is good, trying to know when she's had enough of being alive, and knowing when she's too old to enjoy it. Most of my conversations with strangers are about the dog and how hard it is to know when to end their lives. When is the right moment to mercifully end a dog's life? The answer is there isn't one, until you've gone past it. In all my email discussions with friends, this is the one truth I cling to. Some people wish they'd done it sooner. My personal ending my own life moment would involve a need for diapers. One night, Sarah pooped in her sleep. I wake to the stench and the mess, from all of which she seems to have disassociated herself. I threw out her feather duvet, washed the bedding, wished I was at home, wherever that was, tried not to be angry with her, knew it was time to return to Minneapolis. Before I left Goderich and the Point Farms Park in Ontario, Rick and Anna came to check on me, remembering that after the resort owner at the Swank Resort on Lake Superior had patted me on the shoulder and told me, "Lady, you need to find yourself a man," I had sworn to kick the next man who patronized me. I told Rick that he had carte blanche to say anything. He not only gave me some good advice about preparing for towing, but also discovered that the scamp's tires were bald. I drove straight up to the tire place in Goderich and got two new radials put on. While I was finishing up there, Rick and Anna appeared again to see how I was doing. They had escorted Nell and the ancient station wagon Rose back to Goderich after fixing Rose so she would actually run. I had my usual tussle at the American border, this time with the misnamed Officer Goodhart, who was a prime primate, but to whom I was excessively polite. He wasn't going to accept my photocopied resident alien card and indeed was threatening me with a $500 fine. He spent a long time on the computer trawling through my records, dug out more information than I would have thought possible about previous marriages, replacement of an alien card lost in 1995 and replaced on October the 18th. "You don't say, officer." And the forwarding address I had in 2006 when I went back to the UK. Then he announced that my current lost alien card had expired in 2008, so I was an illegal. And since I'd been born in an African colony, he claimed I wasn't a bona fide Brit either. He played me like a twitching fish at the end of his pole until he was bored with me and abruptly let me go. I was dizzy with fear and hunger, and so relieved to be released that I drove straight to a Wendy's, the wrong way through the drive-in, and celebrated with a cheese and bacon burger and fries, which Sarah and I shared on the grass. Oh my, freedom tastes good. A couple of days later, I was at a remote campsite in Michigan scratching around in the glove compartment for a pen to fill out a camping self-registration form when I came across my resident alien card. I tossed it in the fire. I can cross borders without it. In any way, it has expired. There's nothing like driving across country in the rain for 3 days, a drive punctuated by fields of maize, gas stations, and closed so-called convenience stores, such as my jaundiced view of the USA after the delights of Canada, and soggy nights of scamping in sodden fields, and arriving finally at your Uruguayan friend's house in Minneapolis. My friend enveloped me in a big hug. Mi casa es su casa. And I soaked in a hot bath. And for supper, we had her just-made quiche Lorraine. Lessons learned so far. We have ruined the landscape and possibly the climate by megalithic farming, especially of maize. That most people are innately good. That it is a bad idea to read a map while driving and towing a trailer. That the universe works in mysterious ways and generally sends you what you need.